Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It feels like a good night to go streaking. Or not streaking like I did on Sunday early morning in my neighborhood when I was... Well, if you missed that story, when I was outside in the rain because my dog woke up in a panic and I wasn't really thinking correctly since it was middle of the night and I was awakened abruptly. So I was streaking outside with the dog in the rain, not wearing proper clothing. Not that kind of streaking. No, the kind of streaking that we're seeing from... Leo Messi, my goodness, 6 games, 9 goals, 6 consecutive games in which he scored all 6 games that he's played for Inter Miami CF. And I continue to watch him toy with MLS defenders. I'm sure that I'm not the only one who has that perspective. He's toying with them. So that's streaking. The Dodgers, stop me if you've heard this before, they're streaking with 9 consecutive wins. And remember, this is a team that was supposed to be taking a huge step back in 2023. It wasn't supposed to be the same Dodgers because they really didn't make a lot of big moves. In the offseason, they had so many pitching injuries as well. And yet here they are having won 9 consecutive games. They've got the second best record in the National League behind only Atlanta, which is, stop me if you've heard this before, which is the pattern the last few years. Whereas initially, the Dodgers had the upper hand and the Braves were challenging. Now it's the other way around. The Braves, though they're not defending National League champions, they've been a dominant team the last couple of years and have had the number of the Dodgers. Are we watching yet another National League battle shape up supremacy in the National League? And we'll see whether or not the Brewers or the Phillies or maybe the Giants have anything to say about it. But Dodgers, hottest team in baseball right now. Messi, hottest individual athlete on the planet. My goodness. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us for the Hump Show. It's the middle show of the work week, although this is a weird work week for me, not so much for you, or maybe it is. Maybe you are returning from a vacation. Maybe you're still on vacation and you're tuning in because you're out of your typical routine. However it is that you find us, podcast as well, we're pleased that you do. The Hump Show means middle show of the work week, which it actually is for me. It's just they're not all here. I was out on Sunday night into Monday morning, and then coming up on Thursday night, you will have also a different host because I'm working Friday afternoon. So I'll be doing the 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific time slot on Friday with a lot of people out of the office and out of the studio for vacations. You know how it goes, kind of shuffling the deck. I don't generally move a whole lot. It's hard to move a host off overnights. Not that I desire to, but I don't move a whole lot anyway because it's challenging that you have to give off. Well, I don't know if you guys remember last year when I did a couple of days filling in on Maggie and Perloff, they had to give me, I actually took one night off, or they gave me one night off, but then I had to do Maggie and Perloff one day and come back that night and host again. So it's just not easy to do during the work week. And I'm okay with that because the routine, you mess with the overnight routine, the sleep routine, and everything goes completely haywire. It's hard enough to sleep during the daytime when you work overnights. And so this time it'll be a Friday show. And I will not be here Thursday night into Friday morning, but instead will be battling the masses on a Friday afternoon in New York City, because that sounds like so much fun. Yet another reason why I'm perfectly okay with working nighttime. So it's 3 shows here on After Hours this week. And then on Friday, you can catch me at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern in the afternoon. Please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Do you think the X thing has flamed out? I feel like fewer people are mentioning X. Maybe it's going the way of Threads. I know it's the X logo now on both the phone as well as your regular laptop or desktop. But I don't know anybody who refers to it as X. Do you, Jay, know anyone who refers to it as X other than Jest?
No, I don't think we're there yet. But it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking earlier when I typed in twitter.com into the browser, how much longer is that going to work? Or are we soon? Is Elon soon going to make us have to write x.com in order to find Twitter?
There's no way x.com is a thing.
I mean, not yet, but I got to ask that question of how much longer will twitter.com, the handle, work?
Ugh, I don't know.
Because then when that's gone, is that like going to just condition us to think X?
Dumb. This reminds me of when our parent company spent a lot of money in the middle of a pandemic to change our name and rebrand with all types of new logos and websites and everything else. And I still don't get the point. What was the point?
I'll let you know.
Yeah. What is the point for Elon Musk of changing it from Twitter to X? Maybe he's trying to make a clean break. Well, it hasn't been so clean, but trying to make a total break from anything related to the past and Jack and Twitter. I forgot Jack's last name. Dorsey? Was it Dorsey? Is it Dorsey?
Not sure.
He's not with the company anymore, Avi.
Yeah, I feel like he just wants to make it his own. It's a selfish maneuver. It's a selfish move, really.
Yeah. I mean, so far, there have been other moves on social media that have made them less palatable, less amenable, less user-friendly, like the whole DM thing that Jay's still mad about. Is that affecting your life? Blue check mark thing that he's still mad about?
It's annoying, you know? It's just not necessary. Like, why do I have to buy the blue check mark to DM somebody? Come on.
We don't.
No.
We're not going to.
It's just crazy.
I mean, I told you should ask the company. But haven't.
It's just the principle of the whole thing, really.
Oh, so you don't care enough to ask the company to pay for it? It
hasn't affected me as much lately, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think that would go great.
How did you reach our guest on last night's show? Since I know generally you use Twitter to connect with people that you've never used before here on the show.
Media Guide.
There we go. See, all types of other resources out there. Also, I know just because I've been the subject of said search on the internet that often you can find this information by Googling it. It wasn't that long ago either, once had a listener send me, I don't know if it was a message on Facebook or Twitter, "I've Googled you. Is this your current address?"
Huh, that's creepy.
That is creepy. This is why I don't talk about where I live other than just saying Northern New Jersey. It's why I don't talk about where my family members live other than maybe states or big cities. Yeah, it's a little bit disconcerting when people are searching for you on the internet. But it's true. You can find almost anyone these days if you have a couple of different parameters. A couple different personal pieces of information, and all of a sudden, it's all there on the interwebs for you to see.
It's great, right?
No, it really is creepy and somewhat disconcerting. So we're not going to reflect on it. We're going to instead go back to streaking here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in an hour, a little under an hour, we'll have a chance to connect with our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA. We always enjoy having him on the show. And the reason for it, well, the Dodgers are not blue. It's not blue in Chavez Ravine. Instead, it's red hot.
Smith the lead run at second base. Muncy at first. There's a shot into left center field, and it's high off the wall. Arriving home safely is Smith. Martinez delivers again in the clutch, and the Dodgers have a 2-1 lead. Ground ball into center field for a base hit. Here comes Muncy, and here comes Martinez. Swing and a ground ball base hit into right field. On his way home is Rojas, and he will score. It's now 5-1 as Rojas delivers. Betts lines one into left field, and it's going to drop in for a base hit. Rounding third on his way home is Outman. The throw is cut off. The RBI single for Betts, and the Dodgers with 5 in the bottom of the sixth now lead 6-1.
That's Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. And yeah, 5-run sixth inning against the Milwaukee Brewers, also a division leader. 6 hits in that inning for the Dodgers, and their hitting often can be contagious. There was one error in there, and now the win streak is 9. Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio. And yeah, Mookie Betts kind of understands how this works. I mean, he's been an MVP. He's got an MVP behind him in the lineup. I mean, it really does become one of those kind of situations where if you can get one guy going, one or two guys, then everybody starts to pile on and it's a landslide.
You got to play the whole game. You know, doesn't matter how we got to where we are or wherever we are. You know, we don't care. We're just focused on the task at hand, and we needed some runs, and we all knew it. You know, we kind of felt it, and we were able to push one across, and we already know that we could do it, you know, and sometimes it just takes somebody just starting off.
And it does help now that they've found a gem in Bobby Miller, who's a rookie. Remember, the Dodgers have had all 5 guys from their opening day starting rotation hit the IL at some point. And so to have Bobby Miller throw another 6 innings and give up just 1 hit and 1 run, earn the W, but more than that, because the Dodgers didn't break out until the 6th inning, Miller is out there on the mound in a tight, tense ball game against a fellow division leader, and he has to operate with very little margin for error. Now, he may have assumed, believed at some point the Dodgers offense would break out, but it was on him early to keep this game close and not allow the Brewers to have their own breakout innings so the Dodgers offense could do its work.
I don't think anyone can really know how a young player is going to respond when they get the call to be a major league pitcher, let alone for the Dodgers. And for me, what I've learned from Bobby is there's certain competitiveness, some toughness. Obviously, you can talk about the velocity, but he really understands what a quality major league pitch is now and how to get hitters out. So he's been tested, you know, and every time he goes out there, there's something he learns.
Dave Roberts about his rookie starter, Bobby Miller. If their pitching comes around now, remember, they languished a bit earlier in the season, and then it was a scuffle, a struggle, when they didn't have those starting pitchers. But now you're seeing the rotation line up again, and they found some diamonds in the rough, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Did you see the story about Mookie Betts and a fan who made him a promise and actually followed through, even though it was a unique promise to Mookie? We found this video on Mookie's Twitter where he tells the story about this vow made by a fan and then the fan coming through and delivering on that promise.
What's going on, guys? I just, something pretty neat happened and I wanted to share this story. So back a couple weeks ago, I was on deck and this guy started talking to me and he said, "Mook, if you hit a home run, I'll name my daughter her middle name Mookie." And I heard this and I laughed and he said he was serious. And so I turned around and told him, "Nah, don't do that, bro. Don't do that." And he said, "No, I'm going to do it." And I said, "Your wife wouldn't like that, bro. Don't do that." He said, "No, I'm going to tell her." So I think he may have been on the phone with her. So then that at bat is when I hit, I think, the furthest home run I've hit in my career. And so I circle the bases, come back, and give him a fist bump. There's a little video of it. I thought it was super cool. And then, like a couple weeks later, I see on Twitter the birth certificate for Francesca Mookie Mancuso. Shout out to you, Giuseppe. I can't wait to meet Francesca. That's going to be my girl.
How about that? That's really cool. Mookie, a dad himself, obviously. And to know now that there is a baby girl out there with the middle name Mookie is adorable. So look at that. And Mookie, I'm not sure if you know this, Jay, he started his own YouTube channel recently. Just recently, actually. Because I saw that he was tweeting about how he's posted his first video on YouTube. And he's asking people to go and subscribe. The link is in his bio.
Wow, what's he doing?
Just videos about his life and his journey. And maybe it's his own version of Quarterback.
I'll check him out.
Personally produced. I guess it goes back to February, late February. So it's probably along the lines, following this season's journey. He is far and away one of my favorite players, favorite athletes in Major League Baseball. He's personable. He's genuine. He's obviously very talented. He always seems like he's got a smile on his face. He loves the Dodgers. I mean, the Red Sox had him, and they let him go for super cheap. And the Dodgers wasted no time in signing him up. Remember, they even signed him to a long-term deal before he'd ever played a game because the season was delayed in 2020 with the COVID pandemic. And so they had traded for him. The Red Sox, if I remember correctly, were worried about him walking and getting nothing for him in return. So they traded him to the Dodgers at the end, the tail end of his career, or not his career, his contract with Boston. And then the Dodgers essentially, even before he ever played, they turned around and gave him this big contract. And so he's found a new home there. He's won an MVP. He's been part of a World Series. I mean, he fits perfectly with what the Dodgers are doing. And not only is he great on the base paths and setting the table as the leadoff, which is what he does typically now, but also he's a great outfielder, too. I love to watch him play. So we'll see if our friend Michael Duarte can give us some insight. Maybe Mookie told the story or they talked about it around this ninth consecutive win. Lot more on the baseball diamond, but also if we're talking about red hot or trending stories in sports, yes, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, number one and two overall in the NFL draft, those rookies will be starting as long as there are no significant injuries come their NFL openers. But how about the number four overall pick? The last we knew when we did a Colts insider or interviewed a Colts insider, we did kind of a Colts training camp. Interview is such a boring word. Expose. Colts training camp investigation. No, that word doesn't fit either. You know, we talked about the Colts in training camp. Sometimes I want it to be flowery. I want it to be unique and pretty language, and it just doesn't roll off the tongue. I'll blame the Hump Show for that. Anyway, we talked to our Colts insider last week, and he still had no idea who would be the starter. But after one preseason game, the Colts have made their choice. And you will hear it next. Shane Steichen, the rookie head coach now has made another ginormous decision. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you would like to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, that is a hump show staple. Even if you're out of your routine, I'm out of my routine, always finding itself on the hump show. So we'll take your questions either on Twitter or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It was fun, you know, just playing football again. That was fun, getting back in the groove. I think I had two or three drives, you know, the first drive. It wasn't the best, you know, turnover. You know, we want to try to limit those as best as possible. You know, try to, you know, just find a way to manage it instead of trying to force it to be Superman.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Anthony Richardson, number 4 overall pick to the Indianapolis Colts. I love the way this has worked out for both Indianapolis as well as for Carolina, and I will explain that coming up. But Richardson gets on the football field for the first time in an NFL forum, trying to adjust to the speed, and this is against the Buffalo Bills, so no slouch. And even though teams in the preseason are very watered down when it comes to the schemes they show and the sets they use and the play calling, all of that is vanilla as can be, though I do love vanilla. My favorite is Breyer's all-natural vanilla, if you're asking. Thank you for caring. With chocolate chips on top. So we're not seeing teams in the preseason play their hands, reveal their hands. They're keeping everything really close to the vest. I go from ice cream to poker in my analogies. You're welcome. But it's still an opportunity for Richardson to get out there and adjust as best he can and maybe beat back some of the nerves and the emotion. There's not a lot of experience on his resume, and yet the Colts have decided that he will be the starter come opening day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Think about it. Number 1, number 2, number 4. 3 of the top 4 teams in the NFL draft will be starting rookie quarterbacks. And again, I will draw the lines and the parallels coming up. But Shane Steichen, why the rookie? Why Anthony Richardson instead of Gardner Minshew?
Anthony's just been progressing, you know, the growth he's shown, you know, and then obviously going into Buffalo, you know, playing against a lot of their starters, you know, he showed great signs of improvement and like the things he did. And it's an opportunity for him now to get a lot more reps with the ones going forward. And then we go from there.
Honestly, I was shocked, you know, I've been grinding, putting in work just to, you know, get the title. But, you know, it's not really all about a title. You know, I'm just trying to make sure I'm ready for the team. You know, despite, you know, being labeled as QB1, you know, I still got other guys in the room helping me, you know, get to that standard. So I'm forever thankful for them. You know, I appreciate them, and I'm glad, you know, I did get the nod, and, you know, I do have the trust in everybody in the building to think that I am QB1.
He was shocked, he said. Of course, he's been working toward this end, but he was shocked. So why? Obviously, a follow-up to that. Why so surprised?
It was just hearing the words, you know, because you worked for it. I didn't know when the timeline was going to be. You know, I was just looking forward to week one and just being ready for the opportunity and getting thrown in the fire, hopefully. But, you know, he told me, and I'm just like, wow, it really happened. So, you know, I'm thankful. You know, I'm blessed. And I just got to keep working and just keep building on this opportunity.
So the part that fascinates me so much is the fact that the Panthers and the Colts are both starting rookie quarterbacks, and yet think about what happened before the draft. And even going back to middle of last season, Matt Ryan gets benched because the offensive line in Indianapolis is so bad. It went from being a strength in 21 to being the weakest link in 22. That doesn't work for Matt Ryan, who's essentially got cinder blocks for feet, doesn't move well, isn't mobile. They need to protect him. They don't. Do you all remember when Frank Reich apologized? He makes the change at quarterback. Shoot, I forgot. Would they go to Sam Ehlinger after Matt Ryan? So they go to Sam, And when Frank is announcing that decision, he's apologizing to Matt because we didn't do our jobs. We didn't deliver on our promises or uphold our end of the bargain. We didn't protect him. We didn't offer him protection. So for that reason, he's not the right quarterback for us. Now, ultimately, Frank gets fired. Jim Irsay brings in Jeff Saturday. Wow, that feels like forever ago, doesn't it? And yet it was just a few months ago. Remember that? That was the story for weeks. Even when we spoke to, was it Rodney McLeod? It was, right? During Super Bowl week. He's one of our favorites now. We get him every year. He made the jump from Philadelphia to Indianapolis, and he was able to tell us what that was like when Jeff Saturday stood in front of the Colts locker room for the first time as a head coach. So they had Jeff Saturday take over. Where is Jeff now?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm sure it's with some network, I would imagine, but I haven't heard.
Well, can you Google it just for fun? You do love to Google candy right in the middle of a segment when I'm talking to you.
About candy.
All right. So the Colts turn to Jeff Saturday. Jeff then goes back to Matt Ryan, but that didn't last very long. After the season is done, as Jim Irsay is engaging in what is a relatively long and exhaustive coaching search that results in them hiring Shane Steichen, Frank Reich gets picked up by the Panthers. The Panthers then trade with the Bears. They usurp the Colts' attempts to trade with the Bears for the overall number one pick. The Panthers get it instead. And the Panthers are the ones then who select Bryce Young. By the time we get to the draft, more and more people are buzzing about Anthony Richardson. But do you all remember he was a bit of a revelation in the combine, which takes place in Indianapolis. So they end up selecting him, number four overall. And of course, this is likely the case, although we can't say for sure. If C.J. Stroud is still sitting there at number four, maybe they select C.J. Stroud. But they don't, because the Texans end up going with C.J. themselves. It's just fascinating to me how all these various dominoes had to drop in order for the Colts to get Shane Steichen and then get Anthony Richardson. Now the two of them will start as rookies for the 23 season. And then think about Frank and the Panthers and David Tepper, who is all gas, no brakes. Now, his decisions haven't played out to this point, but he's all in. He's the NFL version of Steve Cohen, except Cohen might have a bit more money, and there's a salary cap in the NFL. But you get what I'm saying. David Tepper is determined. Whether he crashes and burns multiple times before he gets there, he's determined to find a winner, to create a winner. So, yeah, just really connected. Lots of connectivity between the Panthers and the Colts. Neither one has been able to have a consistent starting quarterback for longer than a year. And that's even using Phillip Rivers, right? Going back two seasons ago. Since Andrew Luck abruptly retired, they've had a revolving door at QB. We know what the Panthers do. They've had quarterbacks. They chew them up and spit them out for the last few years. Going back to what Cam Newton was the last time they had stability at quarterback. They've used a lot of different guys. And now here they are, both starting rookies again. It'll be interesting. I don't believe that QB wins should be a stat. QBs don't win by themselves. And so I don't love the stat quarterback wins. I never use it because I think it's misleading. But it will be a story of this 23 season. With the Colts, the Panthers, and the Texans, who are all starting essentially fresh. New head coaches, two of them rookie head coaches, three rookie quarterbacks in those three different franchises. And you do need to take into account division, right? The Texans and the Colts are both in the AFC South. Jacksonville, right now the team to beat in that division. Wasn't too long ago that they had a rookie quarterback and then back-to-back coaching changes. Or will it end up being the Panthers in what was or is, Jay, about the NFC South being wide open. Was wide open? Is wide open?
I say is.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen what Derek Carr's done with the Saints yet, so is.
Yeah, okay. So then we've got those three teams, all with three rookie quarterbacks, brand new head coaches, though Frank's got experience, and they're all in the South divisions, which we deem to be relatively wide open. Oh, definite story of the season. There is more and more pressure on rookie quarterbacks these days, but more and more pressure on teams to get them ready as quickly as possible. Now, it can sometimes blow up in the faces of these franchises, right? If the quarterback's not ready, and I mean more mentally than I do physically. Though if a quarterback can't protect himself and is taking too many risks, well, then yeah, your investment could be short-lived, flame out. But mentally, it's just as important to make sure these guys are ready. And what we've heard from Bryce Young, who was groomed at Alabama, so that's a completely different story. But Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, the Ohio State connection, and then Anthony Richardson, who among the three has by far the least amount of experience. He was a relative unknown until the combine. Are they all ready to handle what's coming at them? Not just as a starting quarterback in the NFL, but defenders who want to shove them to the ground and steal their lunch money. Dexter Henry is here in studio. What do you think about these three rookie QBs?
I think they're all interesting. And the Anthony Richardson, I didn't hear everything you said, but it's very interesting, right? How you feel about whether or not it's worth it for a young quarterback to be thrown into the fire, per se. I'm a Steelers fan, and you saw what the Steelers did last year with Kenny Pickett, right? You saw Mitch Trubisky start, and then 4 weeks, I think it was 4 weeks when they made the switch, and then they put him in there. It's interesting. I think you have to know the quarterback. Some quarterbacks are ready for it, and some are not.
Right.
I think this is a very talented group. I think Richardson has a ton of upside. I think with him, it's going to come down to accuracy. We see the physical tools, the athletic gifts.
He's jacked.
He's jacked, yes. To put it simply, he's jacked, right? And he looks like he should be physically a beast, but there's a mental part of it too, right? And you have to see with all these guys, as you just alluded to, can they handle it mentally? Do they understand what's coming at them week for week? The defenses that are coming at them, the guys, you put it nicely, trying to like put them into the ground.
Yes. one of the guys who are on the NFL field, barring a couple of like older QBs, are jacked. I mean, the defenders are faster. They're like heat-seeking missiles a lot of times. And you're going to face them week after week, right? So mentally, you have to be able to take a hit, but are you ready to get knocked down and then get back up again?
That's the thing. And then and when you don't make the throws or defenses pick you off, and is how do you bounce back? And you listen, these young men will be tested. Mm-hmm. We shall see. But I think all of them have great upside. I really do. I think Bryce Young, probably the one they have a feeling might be the most ready. And it depends on the situation. But we'll see. Anthony Richardson is going to be really interesting. We'll see.
I like the way that the Steelers were able to integrate Kenny Pickett because there were no expectations. Following the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, we know that Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record in Pittsburgh, but there weren't a lot of expectations in the AFC North because the Bengals the year before had gone to the Super Bowl because there's so much more of a profile, even around Lamar Jackson last year and the Ravens. The Steelers, I wouldn't say they fly under the radar. It's still the NFL and they're still the Steelers. But when they made that change to Kenny Pickett, he was allowed to learn at his own pace.
Yep.
And he was ready to go. And the offense scuffled for a while. Yep. It was, I don't want to say non-existent, but it was
not good.
it was a bit of a mess. But now he's got that year behind him, and the progress that he made in 1 year of flying under the radar and not having expectations, that can serve a quarterback especially so well, a young quarterback.
Couldn't agree with you more. And if you looked at the end of the season for the Steelers, the offensive numbers weren't flashy, but he was building a connection with Pickens, some late-game touchdowns against the Raiders. And so there were things that looked good, and I think there were things you could build upon. You're right. He didn't have that pressure on him, and that sometimes not having that pressure helps.
Oh, it does help. Even if that means lower expectations, it definitely does help when you're
trying
to integrate.
Can't say enough about our young Q.
cube. He didn't urinate down his leg. That's my favorite. You remember last year when it actually wasn't about the quarterback. I forgot. It was a different position. I forgot who. It was week number one, and they were asking Mike Tomlin about this rookie, and he said he didn't urinate down his leg.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
I'm trying to remember who he was talking about. It was somebody on the defensive side of the ball, and I cannot remember who he was talking about.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's a great place to be.
Oh, it's fantastic. Could you imagine, just think about it for a second, other 31 NFL head coaches saying anything like that? Being so awkward, and yet when Mike Tomlin says it, it's just fantastic.
You're like, okay, yeah, he said it. It's okay.
Producer Jay just looked it up. It was Jalen Warren.
Jalen Warren. Okay, yes, yeah. That was it. Okay,
he did not urinate down his leg.
Not urinate. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't about Kenny Pickett, but he didn't either.
He did not either. He did not.
That's a great place to begin.
It definitely is. Thank you, Coach. All right. On Twitter, After Hours CBS. On our Facebook page, too, you get to ask Amy anything that comes up later in the show, about 2 hours from now. It's our hump show.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Every day I've been waking up since I've been here, it's just been exciting to come down the driveway here and come in the facility, because everything's new and exciting, and you don't know what, you know, conversation you're going to eavesdrop on or who you're going to meet for the first time.
I joke around, but I'm serious too. The guy glows in the dark, so he's a pretty damn good quarterback.
Getting you to the good half of your week, it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
I do love Robert Saleh. His spirit, his energy, his commitment to his athletes and to building the right culture and a winning team. I love that he is all in. He's an all-in guy, and that makes me happy. He's not one foot in, one foot out. He's not hokey pokey. He is all in. He's 110%, and that's me. I can relate to that. But Aaron Rodgers does not, I repeat, not glow in the dark.
The guy glows in the dark.
No. Do you remember last year, beginning of last season, and even the rookie year for Zach Wilson, when I would drop the line, find someone who loves you as much as Robert Saleh loves Zach Wilson? He used to rave the same way about Zach Wilson. Do you remember, Jay? He used to talk about Zach Wilson like his poop emoji did not smell. And now he's doing the same thing about Aaron Rodgers, but he has to up the ante because Aaron Rodgers is not Zach Wilson. And he has to find more hyperbole. He has to go over and above what he said about Zach. Hey, can you do me a favor? I need you to talk or play music or play some Aaron Rodgers, because it is so hot in here and I need to turn down the AC. Hold on. I'll be right back. There's no one to do it for me.
Just being in meetings and his presence in meetings and all that stuff. You know, we're a really, really young team, especially on offense, and to have his, just to watch him and Nathaniel work together and the way they communicate together. And
I took my headphones out, so I didn't know whether or not you were playing audio.
Just more of Saleh raving about
Rodgers. Oh, great. He still does not glow in the dark. And also, that would be against the rules of the darkness retreat. If he did actually glow in the dark, it would not be a darkness retreat. Right,
so one of my darkest retreat.
Right, exactly. So it would be unfair for Aaron Rodgers to claim that he was in total and utter darkness for 4 days if he in fact does glow in the dark.
Right, it would go against the entire purpose of the trip.
Mm. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? Would you glow in the dark?
No. That'd be cool.
How would you ever sleep if you glow in the dark though? That'd be hard. I have a hard enough time sleeping.
You can never you can never go like anywhere. Anywhere you go, people are going to be looking at you and pointing at you, and you can never do anything.
I mean,
a movie theater?
People do that to you anyway.
Well,
I'm used to kidding. It. Especially now that you're wearing glasses.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I'm already not self-conscious. That's so mean. Did I just bully you?
A little bit.
That's so mean. I'm so sorry. Or as my younger niece, oh my gosh, she's so Gen Z, says to me sometimes, don't shame me, Auntie Amy. Don't body shame me. I'm like, you dork. Well, you don't even know what that means, first of all. And second of all, body shaming you by pointing out that you can eat whatever you want and never gain a pound. How is that body shaming you?
Yeah, it's not really shaming.
No. It's one of those urban phrases has probably been added to the Urban Dictionary, body shaming.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. I've known, even when I was in like high school, that was starting to come up.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I apologize for being bullish, being bullish on people teasing Jay.
I'm offended.
No, you're not. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
How could you possibly say that?
Seriously, with the Aaron Rodgers quips, are you going to knock it off anytime soon? If you could only have one, Aaron Rodgers or Mike Tomlin, for the rest of your time on the show, what would you do?
Probably Rodgers.
What?
I think so.
No. You mean we would have to cleanse all Mike Tomlin quips and one-liners and Tomlinisms because you like Aaron Rodgers better?
It's going to be hard to cancel me.
Yeah.
No. What? Okay. Let's add Dan Campbell to the mix.
Oh, well, come on. That's not fair.
It isn't.
But it's impossible.
It's a theoretical question. It's really, yeah. It's part of the plight of being a producer.
I would say Campbell over over Rodgers and Tomlin because Campbell is so new and fresh, and I don't know what the hell he's going to say next. So I'm always curious. Every time he has a press conference,
he doesn't
listen
know
for anything.
What he's going to say next. Exactly. It couldn't be less calculated. Okay, so here's our question for tonight. You know how much I love fill-in-the-blank participation. I would like to have 100% participation from the various fan bases around the NFL. The season will be a success if blank. Our season. You could even use our. Do you remember on last night's show when Jay dropped an us about his team?
Let's not say which team that
no,
was.
No, I won't. In fact, I purposely left it out. But yes, producer Jay dropped an us about his team. So you can even use us or our or we if you insist. But right now, as we sit, mid-August. Oh, it's dead center of August. Fill in the blank. Our season, the season, whichever you prefer, will be a success if what? Now you have to identify your team because I'm not going to be able to read your mind or interpret your social media so I know which teams you root for. The season will be a success if what? And not every team has the same expectations, right? Not every fan base has the same expectations. For instance, if the Bills were only to go 500, that would be a disappointment. But if the Colts go 500, that's a big deal. Especially if they don't get Jonathan Taylor back. If the Cardinals go 500, that's a big deal. The season will be a success if what? Michael Duarte is next from LA here on CBS Sports Radio.
Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs are the landscaping plants that have been trialed and tested by expert horticulturists to ensure your success. Whether you're looking for the hottest hydrangea, a reblooming rose, or an elegant evergreen, you can count on the shrubs in the white containers for easy care curb appeal for years to come. There's still plenty of time to improve your landscape this season, so head to your favorite local garden center and ask for Proven Winners Color Choice Flowering Shrubs.
This is Matt Spiegel of 670 The Score in Chicago, and my podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is all about the art and craft of play-by-play. Catch up on episodes with Joe Davis, Joe Buck, and many more. Then something crazy happened along the way. I did a weekend of Cubs-Cardinals on the radio, so now conversations are enriched with feedback and advice from Jason Benetti, Boog Shambi, and others to come. The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.